Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is always honored to present as your loyal host. Thank you for allowing us to open up our programs with your song, Gregory Stafford. The song is entitled No One Else, Everyone. This is our theme song. And as I alluded, it is composed and performed by Mr. Gregory Stafford. And of course, it is Friday, which means it is Power Friday. That's right. And let me tell you what we're going to be talking about today on this Power Friday. One of them has to do with business. I'm going to be asking the question, is now a good time for black women entrepreneurs? Is this a good time, a good season, a good period in history for black women in business? I'm also going to talk about something that has to do with nap time. How many of you really enjoy power naps? How many of you really need power naps 4 or 5 times a week because you just don't seem to be able to get to bed on time at night? And so somewhere during the day, go ahead and throw that head back, close both of those eyes, and go into La La Land for just a little while. Well, I imagine quite a few of you have discovered that when baby comes on the scene and it becomes even more difficult to get the sleep that our bodies and souls need, we sure enough need some kind of way to unwind, to chill. Tell you what I'm going to do today to help you with that. I'm going to share some WebMD info that lets us know how we can help baby relax so that we can relax. And the focus is going to be on helping baby sleep right. Sleep right. Helping baby. I mean, there are just some things that as parents we do that make it more difficult for our babies to sleep the way they should sleep. There are some things that we fail to do that can help our babies sleep the way they should sleep. And when we are conducting ourselves in that manner, doing things, failing to do things that help our babies sleep correctly, we're doing the babies a disservice and we're doing ourselves a disservice. And I tell you, the worst part about it is when we decide that we're just going to settle into a pattern that will harm our babies. And I do mean literally harm our babies and possibly for the long run. I want you to be listening to me now. We're going to talk about that later today. Helping baby relax and sleep the way babies should sleep. Sleep when babies should sleep so that baby's relaxation leads to our relaxation. All right, so be listening out now. First, though, is this a good time for black women in business? Black Enterprise author Charlene Reinhart says, yes, it is. It's a great time. Black girl magic is in full effect in the world of entrepreneurship. More women in general, black women in particular, are taking the path to ownership, fully investing in themselves and future generations. If you've ever thought about being an entrepreneur, you'll have the support of a sisterhood of women who are doing the same thing. Now, you know what I want to ask you? Does it seem like going into business, just in general, when you consider all ethnicities and both genders, the various age groups who go into business, does it seem like that is tougher now than it's ever been before? Does it seem like there are fewer people going into business now, say compared to 15, 20, 25 years ago? Does it seem like it's better now than it has been ever before? What has been your observation? That's what I'm asking you. Not necessarily, I mean, and if you've read the stats, that's cool too. But if you haven't read the stats and you're just going by observation, what have your observations been? What have your discussions with other people been when it comes to new businesses starting up, being started up by small business owners? Well, they're saying that according to the 2017 State of Women-Owned Businesses report, which was commissioned by American Express, women's entrepreneurship is growing at a fast pace. Women-owned businesses account for more than one-third of all U.S. firms. Would you have guessed that? All right. I've given you that clue. I give you that fact. Women-owned businesses account for more than one-third of all U.S. firms. So here's my pop quiz question. That you didn't see coming. I didn't even let you know I was going to pop this on you, but here it is. That more than one-third of all businesses in the U.S., how many firms does that account for? More than one-third. So of all the firms in the U.S., how many are owned by women if they own one-third of all U.S. firms? Would you believe 11.6 million firms as of January 2017? When you think about the number of mom-and-pop stores, mom-and-pop restaurants, when you think about chain restaurants, chain stores, when you think about the businesses that you see from day to day as you go from home to work, from home to church, from home to the park, just driving your normal daily routine and you're passing by those businesses, auto zones, you name it. How many businesses would you have guessed if you had to take a wild guess or you took 5-10 minutes to really think it through? How many businesses would you say exist in your county? And would you have estimated that there are 11.6 million firms in the U.S. of A. just of those owned by women, and that's only one-third of all U.S. firms? That many businesses in one country leading the way in the entrepreneurship space, they say, are the African-American women. Women now own 30% of all businesses in the U.S., accounting for some 9.4 million firms. And so I'm a little puzzled by some of their numbers, which seem to contradict. But, well, not seem to, they do contradict. Of course, we know that one-third we're looking at, what, 33%? And they say there's over that amount owned by women. Then they say women own 30%. Then they say that women own 11.6 million firms, and then they say 9.4 million. So their numbers are not precise, but they are giving us a good idea that women own a lot of firms in the U.S. of A. Venus Opal Reese, who's CEO of Defy Impossible Incorporated and creator of the Black Woman Millionaire Tour, is saying that this is the black woman's time. Many attribute black women's success in launching businesses to their willingness to acquire mentors and create communities. Now, one of those, again, their willingness to acquire mentors and, secondly, create communities. That first one, acquiring mentors, that is something that has been discussed for a long, long time. The importance of having someone mentor you. And of course, that wasn't just for black women, black men were also encouraged for years to find good mentors. And you can best believe that even though we have, you know, a dearth of black CEOs of Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies, we still have a underrepresented amount of black people on major boards, etc. The situation is improving. And you can best believe that whether we're talking about people of color being elevated to the highest levels, whether we're talking about women being elevated to the highest levels, someone already at the highest levels helped them get there. Which means, in many cases, white men have helped white women get where they've gotten. White men have helped black men get where they've gotten, and so on. Now, that said, do you think that it is something that should really be a big deal as to who the mentor is? And when I say who the mentor is, assuming, let's just put everything on the same page, and let's set a wall on the same page. Let's just say that all of these mentors that we're thinking about are people with good moral character who exercise good ethics. They excel at what they do and would truly take that person they're mentoring under their wing and help them. So again, now, those are the characteristics of all these mentors that we're just imagining. With that type of mentor in mind, should it matter whether a male is mentoring a female, whether a male is mentoring a male, whether a female is mentoring a female, whether a female is mentoring a male? Should we try to get two people who are as close as possible in age to each other when we talk about the mentor-mentee relationship? Or should that take place, should that relationship be okay regardless of difference in ages? Should it be someone of the same ethnicity mentoring the person that they're mentoring? Or is it cool for the relationship to involve people of different ethnicities? Should it be just a matter of, hey, look, if the mentor and the mentee are going to really connect with each other, and that mentor is really going to help the person that they're mentoring, that's all that matters. Is that your position? One thing that does need to happen, the mentor and the person they're mentoring do need to be able to connect with each other in order for the relationship to really be a successful and to be a really good one. Otherwise, it'll be very, very awkward, and they'll have to be constantly working through that awkwardness, and that'll be burning up time and energy, emotional and mental energy, working through the awkwardness. I mean, if they really just plain don't connect, there may be some awkwardness in any new relationship initially. But you get over that through time. I'm talking about where even over time, because these two just plain don't connect, they never get over the awkwardness in their relationship. So again, as long as they're really connecting, the relationship is really working, should it matter about those gender differences, ethnicity differences, age differences? Or do you say, nope, shouldn't matter? Something to think about as you go about the business of seeking out a mentor. And as you mentors seek out someone to mentor, or potential mentors seek out someone to mentor. Looking at what's happening with black women in particular, many attribute their success in launching businesses, again, to acquiring mentors, creating communities. Secondly, creating communities. So the outlook for women entrepreneurs will only get brighter as more women gain access to inheritances. Women are going to control, and this is what they're saying. You think about this. Think about what you think about these numbers. I'm not saying that they're right or wrong. I don't know. You decide what you think about them. They're saying that women are going to control $22 trillion of investable assets by 2020. That's 12 years from now. I'm sorry. 2 years from now. Two years from now, women are going to control $22 trillion of investable assets. And The Mind, who's a boutique financial empowerment firm led by CEO Carolyn Leonard and Chief Strategy Officer Monica Black, are saying that black women are going to inherit $35 trillion, somewhere in the neighborhood of $35 trillion by 2050. 2050, by 2050. They're going to inherit somewhere around $35 trillion. So they're looking at two different things. Investable assets by 2020 to the tune of $22 trillion and inheritances to the tune of $35 trillion by 2050. And for those who may not be expecting a lump sum inheritance, more companies are anxious to provide more capital to increase the number of female startups. Former supermodel Tyra Banks started Fierce Capital LLC to invest in more women-focused businesses. I tell you, I have really been impressed by Tyra Banks and what she's been doing in the business world. Through Intuit's Backed by QuickBooks funding initiative, a black-owned firm received an unexpected business investment that helped them to fund their makeup brand that focuses on diverse skin tones. The number of angel investors who seek to increase the number of startups led by women is growing every year. Reese says it's not a matter of getting ready. It's not only your time, it's your turn. You might see yourself as a product or service provider. She says she sees black women as a new market. And when you are a category of one, you eliminate the competition and can charge whatever you want. That's what she says. I recommend you use wisdom. Use wisdom when it comes to charging what you're going to charge. There are some businesses that have gone out of business because they would not use wisdom when it came to charging for their products. All right. What do we have coming up in the near future? Well, how about this? I really want you to join me this Sunday, if you can, for Communicating from a Biblical Perspective. We're going to focus on the connection between our emotions and communicating, and specifically our emotions and communicating with God. This Sunday at 1 o'clock, if for whatever the reason you're not able to join us live by tuning in to 1550 AM, The Voice, WTHB, I do invite you and urge you to tune in by going online to speakingwith.com. Click on the link that's labeled Listen Online at your convenience. You're going to be looking for the broadcast that will be airing July 22nd, 2018, Communicating from a Biblical Perspective. I know a lot of you will be in service, in worship service at that time, and that's definitely understandable. And that's why I say tune in online. We will also be, and usually we have the broadcast usually during the weekend. It's usually running by airing online around 3, whereas during the week we usually have it airing somewhere around 5 o'clock, give or take. By 5 o'clock, somewhere around 5. Not possible to, you know, get it right on a specific time every time, but try to get it close to that. So again, during the week around 5, during the weekends around 3. And we are airing Monday through Friday from 1 until 2 live on 1550 AM. Again, close to 5 o'clock. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, we're airing from 1 until 3 live on 1550 AM and online around 3. A little after 3, we usually have those broadcasts posted. So if you're not able to catch us live, again, go to speakingwith.com. Now, what else do we have coming up next week? Dr. Craig Albert from Augusta University will be joining me again. And one of the topics that we'll focus on is the philosophy of voting, the philosophy of politics. What causes us to think the way we think? How do we shape our political attitudes? That's going to be part of the discussion next Friday, Power Friday, July 27th, when Dr. Craig Albert joins me. You can go to speakingwith.com, click on the This Week's Guests and Topics link, and it will show you what we have planned for the week. All right. I definitely want you to stay with me here on this Power Friday. Coming up, we're going to take a look at napping and how helping our babies adjust to sleeping properly can help baby and us, the parents, the ones looking out for the children, whoever the guardian is. Be back in just a few.